starting with verse 1, says, after this, Jesus went about in Galilee. Now, he would not go about in Judea because the Jews were seeking to kill him. Now, the Jews' Feast of Booths was at hand. Now, this is called also the Feast of Tabernacles, Esther. Now, I wonder, actually, could you turn to Leviticus chapter 23, verse 33, and read it for us so we can put it in some kind of context? Would that be okay?
Oh, absolutely. I'd be so honored to read it. So let's open up Leviticus 23, verse 33, and it reads, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the people of Israel, saying, on the 15th day of this seventh month, and for 7 days is the Feast of Booths to the Lord. On the first day shall be a holy convocation, and you shall not do any ordinary work. For 7 days you shall present food offerings to the Lord. And on the 8th day you shall hold a holy convocation and present a food offering to the Lord. It is a solemn assembly, and you shall not do any ordinary work." And then to verse 39, it says, "On the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the produce of the land, you shall celebrate the feast of the Lord 7 days. And on the first day shall be a solemn rest, and on the 8th day shall be a solemn rest. And you shall take on the first day the fruit of splendid trees, branches of palm trees and boughs of leafy trees and willows of the brook." And then we're going to jump to verse 42, where it says, "You shall dwell in the booths for 7 days. All native Israelites shall dwell in the booths." And verse 43 says, "That your generations may know that I made the people of Israel dwell in the booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God."
Brilliant. Thanks, Esther. Well, there you go. The Feast of Booths was called for in the Law of Moses then, as you just read, as this great annual pilgrimage festival when the Jews were supposed to travel together to Jerusalem. They'd camp out overnight during their trek if necessary, and they were going to commemorate how God had provided for them in their wandering in the wilderness, when they had to live in booths made out of branches and actually whatever they could find. It also is meant to look ahead to the future messianic age, when all nations will travel to Jerusalem to worship the Lord. So it could also be understood to mean that believers are really just pilgrims on this earth, and we're travelling through this weary land, living in our earthly bodily tents and little houses with leaky roofs, very often like little booths, toward our heavenly home. And the Jews still celebrate this feast today, actually. It's called Sukkot. Now, remember, the Jewish calendar is based on the moon, so our calendars today are different. And this means that the Feast of Tabernacles happens annually, but at various times, usually sometime between our months of September and October. So let's read verse 3. "So Jesus' brothers said to him, 'Leave here, go to Judea, that your disciples also may see the works that you are doing. For no one works in secret if he seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world.' For not even his brothers believed in him." What's John doing here? Well, he's presenting this contrast between worldly thinking and heavenly-minded people. Jesus' unbelieving brothers thought of this upcoming feast as, well, let's call it a great marketing opportunity for Jesus to go and put on this public demonstration of his miraculous power, like he was campaigning for some kind of election. Verse 6. "Jesus," completely rejected their advice, "said to them, 'My time has not yet come, but your time is always here. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me, because I testify about it that its works are evil. You go up to the feast. I am not going up to this feast, for my time has not yet fully come.' After saying this, he remained in Galilee."
Interesting. You know, I wonder, John, what did Jesus mean here when he said, "My time has not yet come"?
Yeah, he said it a few times, didn't he? And it's a good question, Esther. Well, Jesus always acted in step with the Father's will in word, deed, and timing, crucially, which is really the essence of perfection. And if we would always do what the Father wanted every minute of every day, we'd be perfect too, I guess, or near it. But Jesus was the only one who ever actually managed to do it. Well, this is how Jesus was able to live a perfect life, because he always, without fail, did exactly what the Father wanted and when the Father wanted it.